Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic demons and render your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, praise God. If you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And we're going to continue our teaching on, we must know and understand the reality of the word of God, the six principles of obtaining strong faith. Again, we must know and understand the reality of the word of God, the six principles of obtaining strong faith. So if you found Hebrews 11, please go to verse 6. You follow along as I read. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he, God, is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. So we see here it says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. So you must believe that God exists. Amen. And that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Amen. Now, we were created to worship our Heavenly Father, but that is not what pleases him. It is faith that pleases him. And we should be operating on a level of strong faith. Amen. Faith is a gift which comes from God, given to us at the new birth. God has dealt to each one of us the measure of faith. He has given to each of us the same amount of faith. So no one has more faith than the other. If God was to give somebody 80% of faith and another person 40%, well, then God would be a respecter of person, and he would also be a liar. And we know God is not a liar because he can't lie. Amen. But that measure of faith has to be developed from its weak state into a state of strength by prayer, studying, worship, and praising God on a consistent basis. That's that due diligence of the Word of God. Amen. Faith is the key that unlocks the treasure chest of heaven. Amen. You remember when God tells us in Malachi that he would open up the windows of heaven and pour us out such a blessing that there would not be room enough for us to receive it? That's what he wants to do. Amen. God wants to open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that there would not be room enough to receive it. But it takes faith. Amen. Faith is the key that moves the hand of Almighty God. Faith is the key by which you can obtain the desires of your heart. Faith is that which is pleases God. Amen. Now, we have been discussing the six principles of obtaining strong faith. Amen. These principles, I believe, if they are studied and absorbed and abide in us, that we have no problem in obtaining strong faith. Those six principles are these. Number one, we must know and understand the reality of the Word of God. We must know in our spirit man that God's Word is true. Amen. Principle number two, we must know and understand the reality of your redemption in Christ. We must know and understand the reality of your redemption in Christ. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen. And you must know that. Principle number three, we must know and understand the reality of the new creation. When you are born again, you have become a new creature, one that has never been created before. And so you must know and understand the reality of that new creation. Principle number four, we must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. You have right standing in Christ, and you must understand that position that you hold in Christ. Amen. Principle number five, we must know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. Again, we must know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. We have to have that supernatural power of the Holy Spirit in us. Amen. And principle number six, we must know and understand the reality of the authority of the name of Jesus. Once again, we must know and understand the reality of the authority of the name of Jesus. It is power in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus causes the demons to tremble. Amen. When a construction company begins to erect a new Ephesus, they don't start with the roof and work down. They start with the foundation, making sure that the foundation of that Ephesus is solid and secure and will be able to support that structure. So it is the same way with the Word of God. You should have a strong foundation in God's Word, and that starts with faith, knowing and understanding the principles of faith. Now, I want to make something very clear. I know that prayer is very important. I know that fellowship is very important. And I know that praise and worship is very important. And all those things are equally as important as faith. But I'm speaking and talking about priority. In terms of priority, faith is the number one subject that we should have a knowledge and understanding regards. Amen. So I just want to make that clear. Yes, we should pray, because the Bible tells us we pray. That's how we communicate with our Heavenly Father. Yes, we should praise Him, because we were created to praise Him. And yes, we should have fellowship with people of like precious faith. But again, I'm talking about terms in terms of priority. I just want to make sure we understand that, because everything in the Word of God is important. And I just don't want to think that I am limiting those other areas of the Word in favor of faith. I'm not. Amen. But faith is, in terms of priority, is number one. Amen. If you study these six principles and put them into action in your life, you will be ahead of the game in your understanding of faith. We are currently teaching on principle number five, which is we must know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. Again, we must know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. Understand, when we talk about principle number five, we are talking about those who have been filled with the Spirit, not born of the Spirit. Again, when we're talking about principle number five, we must know the reality and understand the reality of the indwelling Spirit. We're talking about those that have been filled with the Spirit and not born of the Spirit. God wants you filled with the Spirit so you can have more than just life. Jesus said in John 10, 10b, he said this, "I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly." Jesus wants us to have the abundant life, abundant in health, abundant in prosperity, abundance in our family lives, in our business, in our professions, in every area of life. He wants us to have the abundant life. Amen. And we can obtain that by faith. You can't have abundantly unless you have power. In the 14th chapter of John, Jesus is speaking to his disciples at Jerusalem regarding his soon departure. Until then, Jesus had been their confidant. He had been their comforter. He had been their friend. In other words, they could go to Jesus for anything they needed. He fed them, he encouraged them, and he comforted them from their fears. He did everything for them, but now he was getting ready to physically and visibly lead them. Please go to John chapter 14 and go to verse number 16. That's John chapter 14, verse number 16. Jesus is speaking, and he says this. He says, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide or continue with you forever." How long? Forever. So the Holy Spirit will abide with us forever. Amen. Now the names Comforter, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, and the Spirit of God, they are all aliases for the same person, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. When you see the words Comforter used in the Bible, it means the Holy Spirit, and it identifies as aspects of his personality and work. It literally means paraclete in Greek, or parakleton, which means helper or assistance. It means helper or assistance. So we see the Holy Spirit is a helper or assistant to help us. He's not sent to do the work for us. He's here to assist us and to remind us of the work of Jesus. Amen? So he's here to assist us, not to do the work. A lot of people think, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to do the work for you. He's not going to do that. No, he's not. We're to do it, but he is to assist us. Jesus was telling his disciples that he was not going to leave them comfortless, but give them somebody to help them to assist in the things of God. That somebody is the Holy Spirit. Now, please go in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Again, that's Acts, chapter 9. And please go to verse 31. And let's see this in the Word of God. Acts 9, 31. And it says this. It says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort or the assistance of the Holy Spirit. They were multiplied. Amen. So with the, you see the word comfort in this verse, so we could put assistant, because the Holy Spirit assisted the churches that were in Judea, in Galilee, and Samaria. And the thing about it, they multiplied with membership. Amen. And that's what we want to do. We want to multiply the body of Christ through the gospel. Amen. And through the assistance of the Holy Spirit, that supernatural power that has been given us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we see here that the Holy Spirit assists. He doesn't do the work for us, but he will assist us in the things of God. Amen. And we have to understand that. You must receive him. He is a gift. In John chapter 14, please go there. John chapter 14 and verse number 17. It says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. When Jesus was speaking with his disciples regarding the Holy Spirit that was with them, because Jesus was with them. Amen. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples, the Holy Spirit was with them. Amen. Because Jesus was present with them. And the Holy Spirit was with Jesus. Amen. But there is coming a day when he would not be with his disciples forever, but he would be in them, and that day was on the day of Pentecost. That day was on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Jesus was speaking prophetically. Notice it said that the world cannot receive him. The world represents the sinners. It represents those who are not in the family of God. In plain language, the Bible is saying a sinner cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, a lot of churches preach that once you're born again, well, you receive the Holy Spirit. All that is one operation in once, but it's not. We just read it here. We just read it in John 14, 17. Let's go back and read it. It says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, whom the world cannot receive. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. So it can't be the same operation. So that refutes that doctrine and lie that says when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are automatically filled with the Holy Spirit at that same time. You're not. You're not. And we have to understand. I think that's very critical for us to understand that. The verse we just read in verse 17 in chapter 14 of John says, the world cannot receive him. And when they're speaking of the world, they're talking about the sinners. Those who do not know anything about the things of Christ. Amen. Now I'm going to ask a question, and I want you to listen closely to the question. Before you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, what are you, a sinner or a believer? Of course, you are a sinner. That means that when you receive Jesus Christ, you are a sinner receiving Christ, right? If you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit at the same point in time when you are born again, would also mean that you as a sinner receiving the Holy Spirit. We just read what Jesus says, the world cannot receive him. The world cannot receive him. So that means the sinner cannot receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because when you receive Jesus first, your first time receiving him as your personal Savior and Lord, you are a sinner. You don't know anything about the things of God. And you come into him as a babe. And it says here, it says, the Spirit of truth, John 14, 7, it says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You don't know anything about the things of God when you are a sinner. So there's no way that you can receive the Holy Spirit at the same time, because the world does not know him, nor he sees him. Amen? So, if you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit at the same point in time you were born again, you would also mean that you as a sinner receiving the Holy Spirit. And we just read what Jesus said, the world cannot receive him. That means the sinner cannot receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, there is a prerequisite that you must have in order to receive the gift of the Spirit. Exactly, there's a prerequisite. And the main one is you have to be a Christian before you are eligible to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can receive Christ 1 minute, and you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit the next minute. But you cannot receive both of them at the same time. Amen? Now, let me give you an example of myself. When I received Jesus Christ years ago, I received Jesus Christ on Resurrection Sunday. And I went in with a group of people, and the counselors came up to me and asked me that I wanted to receive Jesus Christ. And of course, I did. And I confessed with my mouth and believed in my heart that Jesus is my personal Savior and Lord. Amen. And so after that, they asked me, would I like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I wanted everything. And I said, well, of course. So the counselor came up to me and showed me how to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they prayed for me and then laid hands on me and told me to speak. And at first, I didn't speak. It was just a loud, audible noise, like, And then they said, that's it. That's your language. Come on and speak. And I kept, you know, speaking and I just kept speaking. And the next thing I knew, the language came out and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. But I did not have the Holy Spirit in me prior to me receiving Jesus Christ. I received Jesus Christ first as my personal Savior and Lord. Then, about 5 or 6 minutes after I received Jesus, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I got that supernatural power to be able to go out and teach the Word of God. Amen? So the prerequisite is that you must be a born again Christian in order to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can receive Jesus Christ 1 minute and you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit the next minute, but you cannot receive them both at the same time. And that's what happened to me. I received Christ 1 minute, and about 10, 15 minutes after that, I received Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Amen. You have to have life before you can start breathing. You know, when a baby is born, sometimes they come out, sometimes the doctor has to spank him on his behind, and then he starts crying. You know, there's life in that baby. So you have to be redeemed before you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift, and the responsibility is yours to receive him is on you. You have to receive. Some people will say, if God wants me filled with the Holy Spirit, he would have to fill me. Well, God is not going to do that. It's on you. And you know what? I'm just about out of time for today's broadcast. But please join us next week where we continue our teaching. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.